Welcome to all the blessed family that are joining us. We are going to continue with our youth study. Before we come into the study, dear ones, I would like to ask any one of the dear brethren that would like to open our youth study with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for another Sabbath day. It's beautiful in Arkansas. And we ask for your presence to be with us now as we go into the next section of our Sabbath services. Send your holy angels to impress our minds with what we need out of the study that's given. Bless each person that came. With those who couldn't, if we have sick among us, comfort them and raise them up so they can be joyful in you once more. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. The youth service, we are still in chapter 25, entitled Talents. I'm going to place the link. For those that are not able to see the screen, dear ones, we are in the section of influence, and we are going to begin in page 339, paragraph 2. The sentence is, the life of Christ was an ever-widening, shortless influence. The last time when we met last Sabbath, by God's grace, we ended in page 339, paragraph 1. And I'm just going to give a little bit of that last paragraph to refresh our memories by God's grace. And it reads, so it should be with us. Forgive us with the background. My mom has an aide and she just started today. So please pray for her and also for my mom and for us as well. And it reads, so it should be with us. Wherever we are, we should watch for opportunity of speaking to others of the Savior. If we follow Christ's example in doing good, hearts will open to us as they did to him. Not abruptly, but with tact, born of divine love, we can tell them of him who is the chiefest among 10,000 and the one altogether lovely. Psalms of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 10 and 16. This is the very highest work in which we can employ the talents of speech. It was given to us that we may present Christ as the sin pardoning Savior. We are in the section of the influence. We're going to begin. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic?
Influence. The life of Christ was an ever-widening, shoreless influence, an influence that bound him to God and to the whole human family. Through Christ, God has invested man with an influence that makes it impossible for him to live to himself. Individually, we are connected with our fellow men, a part of God's great whole, and we stand under mutual obligations. No man can be independent of his fellow man, for the well-being of each affects others. It is God's purpose that each shall feel himself necessary to others' welfare and seek to promote their happiness.
Should I just start reading or do I have to wait?
If you would like to be able to share any comments, anyone, you can be able to do so. Otherwise, we can proceed.
That goes for the saying, no man is an island.
Amen.
Every soul is surrounded by an atmosphere of its own. An atmosphere, it may be, charged with the life-giving power of faith, courage, and hope, and sweet with the fragrance of love. Or it may be heavy and chill with the gloom of discontent and selfishness, or poisonous with the deadly taint of cherished sin. But the atmosphere surrounding us, by the atmosphere surrounding us, every person with whom we come in contact is consciously or unconsciously affected.
This is a responsibility from which we cannot free ourselves. Our words, our acts, our dress, our deportment, even the expression of the countenance has an influence. Upon the impression thus made, here hang results for good or evil. No man can measure. Every impulse thus imparted is seed sown which will produce its harvest. It is a link in the long chain of human events, extending we know not whither. If by our example we aid others in the development of good principles, we give them power to do good. If in their turn they exert the same influence upon others, and they upon still others. Thus, by our unconscious influence, thousands may be blessed. This is very true. It's kind of like when you throw a rock in the water, and you see that ripple effect of the one of action of throwing that rock in the water. I look at it like that as a kind word or a cruel word. It will have a ripple effect from that person who receives it. Whether they receive a kind word, or they may take that same ripple effect of kindness and they bring it into their home, and where they may have been kind of short with people, they find that they now have a spirit that has a little joy in them, and they pass it on, and it may be that those who receive it are a little surprised. Yet the ones that have the ripple of the rough effect, and that ripples into their home or those around them, then I tend to think that they're going to be a little more short-tempered or agitated or somehow irritated, and they may not exactly remember how it all got started. But that's kind of what I feel with casting a stone in a lake, and you see the ripple effect of it.
Go ahead, your sister.
I am always captivated by the smile. The smile is a great influencer. Many times people use a smile for just their personality, or they will use it to disarm you, and it works a lot of times. And sometimes someone will be saying a lot of some grievous things or things that are not pleasant, but they have a smile on their face, and you get carried away with that smile. You're not even hearing the words until they are done speaking, and maybe you catch one word of what they had said, and you said, wait a minute. And then you start to go over the whole thing in your mind, and you're like, wait a minute. So, on a better look at the smile, it makes other people smile, and it also changed their mood and their demeanor. And that is something that I had to learn, because I have a very stern look. But I have learned throughout the years, by God's grace, to smile. And one day, someone said to me, why are you always smiling? And why are you smiling for? And I said, well, Lord, thank you, because that was not an easy lesson. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Amen. There's a comment as well in the room. My dear brother said, and everyone has this talent of influence. Everybody can smile, and they are dear sister, like sunshine. We are going to continue, dear ones. We are in page 340 on paragraph 1.
No.
Throw the pebble into the lake, and wave is formed, and another, and as they increase, the circle widens until it reaches the very shore. So, with the influence, beyond our knowledge or control, it tells upon the others in blessing or in cursing.
Character is power. The silent witness of a true, unselfish, godly life carries an almost irresistible influence. By revealing in our own life the character of Christ, we cooperate with him in the work of saving souls. It is only by revealing in our life his character that we can cooperate with him. And the wider the sphere of our influence, the more good we may do. When those who profess to serve God follow Christ's example, practicing the principles of the law in those who profess to serve God, practicing the law in their daily life, when every act bears witness that they love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves, then will the church have power to move the world.
Who would like to follow paragraph? I'm sorry, dear ones.
Oh, you're fine. But never should it be forgotten that influence is no less a power for evil. To lose one's own soul is a terrible thing, but to cause the loss of other souls is still more terrible. That our influence should be a savor of death unto death is a fearful thought, yet this is possible. Many who profess to gather with Christ are scattering from him. This is why the church is so weak. Many indulge fully in criticism and accusing. By giving expressions to suspicious jealousy and discontent, they yield themselves as an instrument to Satan. Before they realize what they are doing, the adversary has, through them, accomplished his purpose. The impression of evil has been made. The shadow has been cast. The arrows of Satan have found their mark. Distrust, unbelief, and downright infidelity have fastened upon those who otherwise might have accepted Christ. Meanwhile, the workers of Satan look complacently upon those whom they have driven to skepticism and who are now hardened against reproof and entreaty. They flatter themselves that in comparison with these souls, they are virtuous and righteous. They do not realize that these sad wrecks of character are the works of their own unbridled tongues and rebellious hearts. It is through their influence that these tempted ones have fallen.
Amen. Does anyone out of their brothers would like to be able to share? Dear ones, Miguel and Jamai.
Continuing. So frivolity, selfish indulgence, and careless indifference on the part of professed Christians are turning away many souls from the path of life. Many there are who will fear to meet at the bar of God the results of their influence.
It is only through the grace of God that we can make a right use of this endowment. There is nothing in us of ourselves by which we can influence others for good. If we realize our helplessness and our need of divine favor, we shall not trust to ourselves. We know not what results a day, an hour, or a moment may determine. And never should we begin the day without committing our ways to our Heavenly Father. His angels are appointed to watch over us, and if we put ourselves under their guardianship, then in every time of danger, they will be at our right hand. When unconscientiously we are in danger of exerting a wrong influence, the angels will be by our side, prompting us to a better course, choosing our words for us, and influencing our actions. Thus, our influence may be a silent unconscious, but mighty power is drawing others to Christ and the heavenly world. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read also a comment. Your brother said, the Laodicean fall into that position. For those little ones or the youth that may not know what Laodicean means, we also have studies concerning the state of Laodicea, but it's someone that all, it could be the church or even an individual, neither hot nor cold, and it says that the Lord will spew them out of his mouth. Is there anybody else that would like to be able to share their ones, maybe I'll mute your mic. We are going to pass to another theme of our talent, chapter 25. And this one is the talent of time. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Our time belongs to God. Every moment is His, and we are under the most solemn obligation to improve it to His glory. Of no talent He has given, will He require a more strict account than of our time.
The value of time is beyond computation. Christ regarded every moment as precious, and it is thus that we should regard it. Life is too short to be trifled away. We have but a few days of probation in which to prepare for eternity. We have no time to waste, no time to devote to selfish pleasure, no time for the indulgence of sin. It is now that we are to form characters for the future immortal life. It is now that we are to prepare for the searching judgment.
If anyone or dear brother would like to touch, or sisters would like to be able to touch upon those two paragraphs, may you unmute your mind.
Well, this kind of brings to my mind the time that we're in the Day of Atonement time. And we really don't have time to goof off in bringing everything to the Lord and allowing the Lord to strip away all of the worldliness that we're still holding onto or might be locked up in our hearts, and we need help from the Holy Spirit to get that out, because there's a great work to be done and there are many to be influenced in a right way. So time is of the essence. It's important. We are on the precipice of eternity. We are right there, by all, you know, sense and meaning. So there's lots of work to get done. And I'm seeing that work, very much takes place first with us so that we can be prepared to go forward to reach others, because if we don't have those parts of the work done before the Lord during this time of atonement, and we haven't given things to Him and conquered, going forth without the anointing of the Lord to go forth in power, it's going to be a rough walk to try to even be reaching others. Though we may have, by God's grace, the ability to give a word here or there, it is His grace that abounds that makes that word more effectual, where we may have been actually falling a little short, for God does love that sinner. So I look at it like that time is very important, and the time that we're in is an exceeding important time.
I believe that in these days, more than ever, we can literally see the value of time. It is very, very much obvious that how time is just flying, fleeting by every single day. But I remember when I was little, my parents would say, there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time. And they were always go off into that, there's a time for this, there's a time for that, there's a time for this. But in this time, this is a time that is a time for atonement. atonement. It's an atonement time, and I pray that we all realize that is the time to pray and bring everything that we have before God so that we can clear our names in the book of life or the book of the books. There's three of them. So we clear and have be put into the book of life. That's what I'm trying to say. So that is the time that we are now living in.
I would like to share, especially in this particular section, about another way that I have seen time. You know, when we do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ early in our lives, and sometimes people may feel that because we came in late, that the Lord is not acquainted. The Lord is acquainted with all our lives, even in the time that we did not know. Raising not with our parents, we were raised with our grandparents. But did you know something that I found out during this time that I have been taking care of my mother? The perfect timing is God's timing. Maybe I didn't really have them when they were, when I was young and in the very beginning of my life, but I noticed that we don't lose anything. Do you know during the time that I was taking care of my dad and now taking care of my mom, there have been moments that I have shared with them or they share with me that if it wasn't for God's timing, I would have never known my parents the way I'm getting to know them now. And I found it to be such a blessing because sometimes we feel we lose something and that's because we see it in our own eyes. But the Lord will not allow us to lose anything that is necessary and essential for our growth, not only in our development as an individual, but the Lord is also in control of our spiritual life. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Sometimes we will want to go faster. Sometimes we might just sit back. But praise God for the Holy Spirit, for He is the one that will bring to us and bring it back to our remembrance and set us in the place that we ought to be. So with this testimony, I will say to stand still. And even though we are at the feet of the Lord and we ask in the Lord what and how and in what manner, just be still enough that when the Holy Spirit come and speak to you, just like as we saw the story about Mary, we sometimes get caught up in why and why not. And in the time that we are doing that, we don't even realize that He's right next to us. But in our tears and in our anguish or in our anger, whatever it is that we emotionally are experiencing at that moment, we don't get to see that He's been involved in our life from the time we came into this world. And He's still working along with us. I just wanted to share that because these moments that I had 10 months with my dad and I'm having some time with my mom from August until today. And it has been so humbling. I get to see how much we have in common or don't have in common and what the Lord also has spared us from. I just want everyone to be able to understand we have a loving God. And He always been there. We may not know it at the time because we don't have that close relationship with Him. But as you sit and experience the time that He have in store for you to be able to know the truth, you will see that He will gently walk you through it and you realize He was always there. I just wanted to share that little testimony and to be able to encourage anyone that has had experience where they were not able to grow up with their parents, but for whatever reason that only God knows that He had led us to be able to be with Him, because when we don't have our parents, we have our heavenly parents that never left us. And for His own purpose that He had designed it that way. And He will not leave you ignorant of that. The time will come. The time of visitation will come where he will sit and sat with you if you allow him to do so. I just wanted to share that, and we are going to continue. I believe, is it on 342, paragraph 4? Let me just share the comments that is in the room. Just give me a few seconds to scroll down. If I... Okay, Sister says, amen. On another note, I have asked for the gift of time countless times when I was so pressed and stretched while taking care of patients, and he does provide it as needed. Amen, yes, sir. I have still time to stand still that I may caught up. That is so true. Is there anyone that would like to be able to share their ones? May you unmute your mic? We are going to continue. I believe we left off. Is it paragraph 3 or is it paragraph 4? Okay, paragraph 3. Thank you so much. The safety and a multitude of counsel. Who would like to take the next paragraph, Ewan?
The human family have scarcely begun to live when they begin to die, and the world's incessant labor ends in nothingness, unless a true knowledge in regard of the eternal life is gained. The man who appreciates time as his working day will fit himself for a mansion and for a life that is mortal. It is well that he was born. We are admonished to redeem the time, but time squandered can never be recovered. We cannot call back even one moment. The only way in which we can redeem our time is by making the most of that which remains, by being co-workers with God in his great plan of redemption. Amen.
In him who does this, a transformation of character takes place. He becomes a son of God, a member of the royal family, a child of the heavenly king. He is fitted to be the companion of the angels.
Now is our time to labor for the salvation of our fellow men. There are some who think that if they give money to the cause of Christ, this is all they are required to do. The precious time in which they might do personal service for him passes unimproved. But it is the privilege and duty of all who have health and strength to render to God active service. All are to labor in winning souls to Christ. Donations of money cannot take the place of this.
Every moment is freighted with eternal consequences. We are to stand as minutemen, ready for service at a moment's notice. The opportunity that is now ours to speak to some needy soul the word of life may never offer again. God may say to that one, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee," and through our neglect, he may not be ready. In the great judgment day, how shall we render to our account with God?
Life is too solemn to be absorbed in temporal and earthly matters. In a treadmill of care and anxiety for the things that are, but an atom in comparison with the things of eternal interest. Yet God has called us to serve Him in the temporal affairs of life. Diligence in this work is as much a part of true religion as is devotion. The Bible gives no endorsement to idleness. It is the greatest curse that afflicts our world. Every man and woman who is truly converted will be a diligent worker.
If any one of the dear brethren would like to be able to share, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Yes, going up a little further than the last paragraph, if I can see it a little bit. Yes, this one. I find it to be very, very sobering because as we go through our daily lives, we really do not know, unless we are truly in, have made time in prayer each day and we are really listening for the Lord, we do not know if that one dear soul in front of us needs to hear that particular word from the Lord that would be the spark for them to truly consider their mortality and the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Yet if we withhold it for whatever reason of fear or uncomfortableness or anxiety, whatever the excuse may be, and I do say excuse for the Great Commission is given to all as a command, so we have to see them as excuses. You know, if the opportunity by the Holy Spirit lends itself to speak and we don't, it's very sobering that that word could be spoken, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee," of that individual, and yet the moment for them to possibly have received the bread of life before that would have happened is now gone. And that kind of causes me to shudder and be more mindful of every opportunity because we don't know. It almost makes me want to be very, very cautious and diligent as I meet any person and be praying in my heart, "Lord, is there a word for this one? How about for this one? What about for that one?" Because I really want to be in that habit to where I can hear the Lord say, "Yes, this is the word," or "Yes, share this." I'd rather be able to be ready to, even if it were but a small grain of mustard seed, The Word of God says that even with the grain of mustard seed, one can have faith enough to come into salvation with the Lord. So I just found that to be very sobering, that one paragraph, and I wanted to just touch on it in that way. Thank you.
I'll forgive my background. I don't know if y'all could hear the background noise. I'm by my mom, but I would like to be able to touch upon this subject, which is time, especially for the babes in Christ and those that may be very shy to be able to express their knowledge concerning what they have learned. You know, in the past, let's say in the time of Sister White or even further back, we don't have the privilege that we have today. Do you know that if you don't know what it is that you would like to learn about one particular section or one particular word, we have the privilege now that they didn't have. Imagine some people didn't have the materials. Some people didn't have the ability to search. We have it now. You know, you can actually take the engine of the estate and whatever it is that your heart is trying to be able to know, or what the law is trying to impress, you may not know what it is, but if you put it in the engine and you actually make a search, you'll be surprised. Not only you will get a knowledge of what it is you're looking for, but there is other gems that will come about. And then maybe you're shy and you don't really want to share because you are afraid of what it is that you may not know what to tell them. But the Holy Spirit is going to help us also. I remember that I wanted to share something with someone, but I was kind of a little bit reluctant that it would come out wrong because of the language barrier, or maybe they didn't understand. But because I was willing that I wanted to do that, do you know that, I'm sorry, I need to chuckle a little because sometimes the Lord is so wonderful. The individual will ask me instead of me trying to be able to do it, because it's like I will say I don't know how to tell them. And then that phone call will come, or the person that I'm in front of say, hey, you know, I wanted to know about such and such topic. And then my whole mind just like explode, because I can't believe that were they listening at the time that I was speaking to the Lord. But because we will have a willing heart, the Lord will use us as instrument, or he will impress us. And, you know, we have activity with angels as well, that maybe someone at the moment might need a word. Maybe we don't know what word, but if we are willing to be used, the Holy Spirit will do so. I wanted to just encourage those that may not have the courage or even the wisdom. But we do have the Godhead, and he reads our hearts and he knows our intention. And the Lord will help us along with that. I wanted to share that with when it comes to time. Who would like to text the next paragraph, dear ones? If you have any comment, you can be able to unmute your mic to do so.
Upon the right improvement of our time depends our success in acquiring knowledge and mental culture. The cultivation of the intellect need not be
prevented by poverty, humble origin, or unfavorable surroundings. Only let the moments be treasured. A few moments here and a few there that might be frittered away in aimless talk. The morning hours so often wasted in bed, the time spent in traveling on trams or railway cars or waiting at the station. The moments of waiting for meals, waiting for those who are tardy and keeping an appointment, if a book were kept at hand, and these fragments of time were improved in study, reading, or careful thought, what might not be accomplished? A resolute purpose, persistent industry, a careful economy of time will enable men to acquire knowledge and mental discipline which will qualify them for almost any position of influence and usefulness.
Anyone would like to be able to comment on that particular paragraph? If you need me to go back, I will be able to bring it back as well. Maybe unmute your mic.
Sorry. Recently, I had a review on my job, and the topic of time came up. And in that, you know, how would you prove or how would you do certain things, or do you have any example of things? And then I brought out this huge binder and I could see the person that I was having a conversation with was so surprised. And I was a little bit surprised because every single day, every moment that you take down information, you don't realize when you're not looking back. You're just looking that one day and you write it down and you put it away. Next day, the same thing. But when you look back, you see you have saved so much information over time on a specific topic. And I too was thinking, I was like, wow, is this whole, I'm like, did I take up the right binder? And so I just wanted to share that, like little by little every day, if we could document or keep a record of things that we want to make sure that we do or not do, we will be amazed looking back at how much time we took in different things and doing things or not doing things. And that experience that day amazed me, and I just thought I would share that.
It is the duty of every Christian to acquire habits of order, thoroughness, and dispatch. There is no excuse for slow bungling at work of any character. When one is always at work and the work is never done, it is because mind and heart are not put into the labor. The one who is slow and who works at a disadvantage should realize that these are faults to be corrected. He needs to exercise his mind in planning how to use the time so as to secure the best results. By tact and method, some will accomplish as much in 5 hours as others do in 10. Some who are engaged in domestic labor are always at work, not because they have so much to do, but because they do not plan so as to save time. By their slow, dilatory ways, they make much work out of very little. But all who will may overcome these fussy, lingering habits. In their work, let them have a definite aim. Decide how long a time is required for a given task, and then bend every effort toward accomplishing the work in the given time. The exercise of the willpower will make the hands move deftly.
through lack of determination to take themselves in hand and reform, persons can become stereotyped in a wrong course of action, or by cultivating their powers, they may acquire ability to do the very best of service. Then they will find themselves in demand anywhere and everywhere. They will be appreciated for all that they are worth.
By many children and youth, time is wasted that might be spent in carrying home burdens and thus showing a loving interest in father and mother. The youth might take upon their strong young shoulders many responsibilities which someone must bear.
Amen.
Amen.
The life of Christ from his earliest years was a life of earnest activity. He lived not to please himself. He was the Son of the infinite God, yet he worked at the carpenter's trade with his father, Joseph. His trade was significant. He had come into the world as the character builder, and as such, all his work was perfect. Into all his secular labor, he brought the same perfection as into the characters he was transforming by his divine power. He is our pattern.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is what I long to be able to do.
Parents should teach their children to value Parents should teach their children the value and right use of time. Teach them that to do something which will honor God and bless humanity is worth striving for. Even in their early years, they can be missionaries for God.
Does anyone would like to be able to share? Sorry.
Yes, I do. I do. I want to, even if it's just this slight little sliver, it has a lot in it that to reflect on. And I put my life in the situation of this and encourage parents, whether here or listening online, it is very important to truly teach your children the right value and use of time. As I was growing up, there was no real order or value of time except be home when it's time to eat. There was no time to clean up here or clean up there, though there was a clean house, but there was no set time of anything at all. And in the other part of honoring God and blessing humanity in doing that, that was not there. So I encourage parents, and I say that more abroad than though there may be visitors here, that is a very beautiful key blessing to bless your children with, which I speak to what I went through that was not there, and it does make a very big difference in growing up and valuing time, how it is spent, because it leads to a lot of foolishness and laziness and apathy to even help here or there unless you're told to do so. There is no desire built in by teaching good management of time to help out where you can help out without being told. I really believe it blends into that. So I share that concerning myself so that other parents may know that there are those children who are raised up now, they're adults, that went through lack of any kind of structure of growing about time and even giving that honor to God with doing time rightly and being a great help even to your neighbors because you can manage your time well, and then you would even have time to help your neighbors. Please, by all means, take heed of this. It is a really beautiful and valuable tool that really reaches into every aspect from study, reading, to prayer time, to helping in the house. It really helps helping one another in the house and helping your neighbors. Having that time, obedience and organization and discipline. That's it. Discipline. Having that discipline concerning time, which is a very, very valuable gift, is priceless and would not be wasted on any of your little ones as you're raising them up. So I just wanted to share that by God's grace.
Amen. I'm going to read a comment that also was shared. He says, you can be a missionary worker for God by doing the dishes, vacuuming, and other house duty, and be helping your parents and family members. And I'm going to add something to that here, brothers and sisters. When I was younger, my grandmother always used to tell us that when we don't have nothing to do, we always go into mischief. So she says that if you don't have nothing to do here in the house, don't worry, I'll find something for you to do. And my grandmother used to sit and tell us, do you know that the time of idleness could be a time of creativity? So she used to give us one of the biggest puzzles, and she used to put it on a table. And those puzzles used to have the pieces so small, but she would leave it on the, I don't know what they call a coffee table, but it's a little table that is right next to the chair. And I remember all of my sisters, my grandmother would tell us to take a side, you know, and sometimes without even talking, sometimes we come all together and somebody's taking one part and somebody would take like the part where the vegetation is and things like that. I really cherish those times because I didn't know that puzzles, especially like trying to find the pieces, can also help you to solve different things like in school or because it teaches patience. And besides that the Lord was, I really believe my mother, which my grandmother, was moved to be able to train us this way. She started to lend me out to the neighbors. I used to hear she says, oh, don't worry, Rose will go and get it for you. And I was like, they didn't ask me, but, you know, I was lent by neighbors. So sometimes even the neighbors used to call my grandmother and tell my grandmother if they can borrow us. But, you know, one of the things then that I do believe that it was a blessing. Having the opportunity to do all these things, then you get to learn a lot of things that if you wasn't doing those things, then you'd have never known. We had neighbors that was building their own houses. So I know how to lay brick, how to mix actual cement for the purpose of the building of the house. I got to learn to know a lot of things because I was learned so much by my grandmother that whenever somebody needed the help, I was able to learn different things. So the knowledge of having some little talents here and talent there is really because of how busy they used to keep us when we was little. So in this time, I know they have a lot of young parents that they allow certain environment to be able to babysit their children, like, you know, with the iPad and things like that. They will not have the time to be able to do a lot of the things that later they can be able to use it, even to help back their parents. So, yes, we do have time for that, but let it not be the whole time that they have. Can divide the time to do manual labor. Sometimes they have cognitive or intellectual. Just try to incorporate it and never take your eyes away from them. Because sometimes in quiet time, you get to know your children more. They're not really looking to see you're looking, but then like that, you can learn their interests or their strong point as well. So I wanted to share that. Is there anybody else that would like to share their ones?
I believe if I learned earlier in life this talent of time, it would have saved me so much, and I would have done so much more, because also as a child, I was not raised with the concept of our structure of time-wise and how important time is. You know, the only time you were told about time is when you had to do your chores. So it's time to do your chores, or it's time to eat. But other than that, there was no, like, make sure that you do this in this amount of time and the next time, like a routine or structure, none of those things. So, yeah, I piggyback on everyone that has been talking about time and when they grew up. Like, I grew up in a similar situation where time was not emphasized and how that can, affect you as you grow up to be an adult. Just now during, and as an adult and also coming into the light of the Word of God, I realize how important it is to structure your day, and use time wisely.
Who would like to take the next paragraph there once?
Parents cannot commit a greater sin than to allow their children to have nothing to do. The children soon learn to love idleness, and they grow up shiftless, useless men and women. When they are old enough to earn their living and find employment, they work in a lazy, running way, yet expect to be paid as much as if they were faithful. There is a worldwide difference between the class of workers and those who realize that they must be faithful stewards.
There is a comment also in the room where it says, my dad would tell us to read. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
Indolent, careless habits, indulged in secular work, will be brought into the religious life and will unfit one to do any efficient service for God. Many who through diligent labor might have been a blessing to the world have been ruined through idleness, lack of employment, and of steadfast purpose opens the door to a thousand temptations. Evil companions and vicious habits deprave mind and soul, and the result is ruin for this life and for the life to come.
Gina. Gina. Gina, you want to read?
Ready?
Whatever the line of work in which we engage, the Word of God teaches us to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the rewards of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Romans 12:11, Ecclesiastes 9:10, Colossians 3:24. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My sister was reading at the time, but the mic was closed, so I apologize. She wanted to read as well. We in the section of health. Gina, you want to do this one? Okay, just a minute. I'm going to just. Okay, go ahead.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Health is the blessing which few appreciate the value. Yet upon the efficiency of our mental and physical power, largely depends on.
It's too far. Just a minute. Yeah, hold on just.
I want to read it from here.
Okay, I'm going to know.
Is anyone? You say health is out. Okay, that I should say. Which one, Rosita? Okay. Health is a blessing which few appreciate the value. Yet upon the efficiency of our mental and physical power largely depends. Our impulse and passion have their seat in the body and must be kept in the best condition physically and under the most spiritual influence in order that our talents may be put into the highest use. Amen.
We are going to just read the following two paragraphs, and we're going to end at 347, page and paragraph 4. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? Will you unmute the mic?
Anything that lessens physical strength, enfeebles the mind, and makes it less capable of discriminating between right and wrong. We become less capable of choosing the good and have less strength of will to do that which we know to be right.
The misuse of our physical power shortens the period of time in which our lives can be used for the glory of God, and it unfits us to accomplish the work God has given us to do. By allowing ourselves to form raw habits by keeping late hours, by gratifying appetite at the expense of health, we lay the foundation for feebleness. By neglecting physical exercise, by overworking mind or body, we unbalance the nervous system. Those who thus shorten their lives and unfit themselves for service by disregarding nature's laws are guilty of robbery toward God. And they are robbing their fellow men too. The opportunity of blessing others, the very work for which God has sent them into the world, has by their own course of action been cut short. And they have unfitted themselves to do even that which in a briefer period of time they might have accomplished. The Lord holds us guilty when by our injurious habits, we thus deprive the world of good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Boo. We are going to end right here. By God's grace, we'll give our dear brothers a chance to be able to have that little remission. So I'm going to just place it for our dear Elder Rob that he will be coming back by God's grace next Sabbath. We are in page 347, paragraph 1. If any one of the dear brethren would like to close our youth study with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have it in this blessed study. Let's all cherish the lessons that we learn, read from, that we may never forget them. Let's be able to always keep in mind you will always be there to help us with whatever, you know, delicate things that we need to handle. I pray that we won't be able to let this and get the better of it. Unless if we find ourselves unable to find what to have. Let's be able to always keep in mind you always be there to help us, to give us those words, and also to always give us instruction, whatever needs to be done. Let's be able to also be the good people that we are and that we can be. I also pray that you may be able to help me with all the troubles, both I may have got trapped in, or might, or will get in. And also with all of us here today, let's always keep in mind that you will always keep on treasuring us, and you will always be there to help us through all troubles, big or thin. Let's always keep on continuing our labors, not just to keep ourselves occupied and also to keep our minds and muscles working properly, but also to be working for thee, that everyone may know who you are, what you wish for them to do, that you wish is the best for us to be dependent more on thee, even less than ourselves. Be with us now as we in this study, but be with us as we head out to the next one. And we also pray that you may even protect us from the chilly weather that is outside. It is you who is keeping us warm, not just us, the machinery that keeps the warmth inside here. Us, we would always keep on putting our trust more in the every day, that we will always be there to help guide the way. We may be able to always have success in all of our undertakings. Be with us just now. Be with us as you continue to keep showing our reverence today. And also that we may be able to do it forever, no matter how or long, and no matter what difficulties that may obstruct us. This is my Pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we are going to take some few minutes, dear ones, that y'all can be able to stretch your legs up. And we will be back in at least like 14 minutes, 14 to 15 minutes, dear one. May y'all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath.